Last week we finished up Ezra. Today we start Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a contemporary with Ezra. And Wednesday nights we're doing Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a contemporary with Ezra and Nehemiah. It's interesting just how during this time God has these men, these individuals that are so faithful to the things of the Lord. And even though they are in a horrible place, they're in exile, they're slaves, they become comfortable in Babylon. But everything's been taken from them. We're going to see Nehemiah is basically a slave. He's actually the cupbearer to the king. And so he would be, you know, responsible for taking care of, you know, different things that the king would need. One important thing that Nehemiah would do and these individuals would do back at that time, being a cupbearer, you'd literally put your life kind of on the line for the king, because he would partake like of all the drink and so on before it would be given to the king. Because then if it was poisoned, he'd die and the king would live. And so he's basically just a servant doing whatever he can to serve the king and protect the king and minister to the king. And we're going to see that, again, I don't think this is something that Nehemiah necessarily chose to do or maybe wanted, you know, had a dream. Oh, I want to be a slave and I want to, you know, when I grow up, I want to be in exile. When I grow up, I want to, you know, just be at the beck and call of this king. I don't think that that's probably what he dreamed about. But we're going to see a man of such integrity like Ezra and like Daniel and like Ezekiel and so on, that he has great influence and he has great respect. If you go to 1 Timothy and then to Titus, some of the characteristics of an elder, a leader, and I just go even beyond there, a person, a Christian, whether, you know, man or woman, a mature Christian, one of the characteristics is a person who has a good reputation, who is blameless, who has respect. And I think that you just gain that by living a life for Jesus. Whether it's easier, you know, whether it's a comfortable thing or whether it's not a comfortable thing. And so Nehemiah, he's the cupbearer. He's faithfully fulfilled, you know, his position. Even though, again, he might not want to. And that speaks to me because, again, tomorrow you and I might not necessarily want to, you know, just, oh, wow, I can't wait to have the boss tell me to do this tomorrow. Oh, I can't wait to dig a ditch. Oh, I'm looking so forward to that. Oh, I can't wait to run that machine I've run for 10 years. Oh, it's so exciting. You know, oh, I can't wait to do the laundry tomorrow and clean the house. Oh, wow. I wish the weekend would just go away so I could get to that fun stuff. We don't look at life that way. And it might not be the greatest thing, but we do it in such a way as that we're doing it not for ourselves. We're not doing it even for the kids. I'm not even doing it for my family. I'm doing it for the Lord, right? We're Christians, and as we're out in the world, we're serving Jesus. And whether we eat, whether we drink, whatever we do it as unto the Lord. That's why when I work, Bill and I, we were hauling sandstone. I don't know how heavy those things were. How heavy do you think the heaviest one was? Yeah, 300 pounds. So we got to, you know, by hand, you dig down to the footer of the wall and you shovel by shovel, you put it in a wheelbarrow, go dump it. And, you know, once you do that, then you have 300-pound sandstones. You got to get out of that hole. I mean, that's, you know, I wasn't looking forward to that. Yippee! Oh, I finally get to do this. I don't think Bill is either. And you know what? It's not that we're working for a company, and it's not even that we're working for a homeowner. We are, but ultimately we're working for the Lord. And so I'm going to do my doggone best. Nobody's watching me except, I think, Bill there. Nobody was watching Bill except me. And you know what? We're going to work hard. You know, I'm not... We're going to work hard. If we need to take a break, we're going to take a break. We're going to do the job as far as we know, right? And try and be, again, people of integrity, of honesty. We're doing it for the Lord, even though it's something I don't want to do every day. I would not want to do that. But if I had to feed my family, that's the only way I had to feed my family, I'd do it. And then, you know what, I'm going to do it with energy. I'm going to do it with all the ability I have. Why? Because I'm not doing it for anybody except the Lord. And so that's why I think we see in Nehemiah. That's what I think we see in Ezra. That's what I think we see in Daniel. You know, these guys, they weren't sloughing it off. They weren't, I know guys, I've worked with guys, probably everybody here has worked with guys. They work harder at trying to get out of work than they do if they actually do the work. Yeah. You know, our kids, right? Go clean your room. And they'll find everything under the sun to do except clean their room. If they would have just cleaned their room, it'd be clean. Right? And so as they're growing up, you teach them, you know, you go do it and you do it right now and you do it right. You know, as a parent, that's what I want to do. And so Nehemiah, this is the kind of guy he is. He's a good example. He is going to lead the third and the final entourage back to Jerusalem because there's work that needs to be done. Zerubbabel has already gone. He was the first one, if you remember. Ezra has gone. He's the second one. And now Nehemiah is going to go. And he's going to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall, specifically of Jerusalem. Ezra wants to rebuild physically the wall of Jerusalem so that the wall is restored, protection is restored and so on. He wants to restore that, but he wants to bring also revival and reform to the hearts of the people that are back there. We're going to see that it's an awful thing. It's an awful scene. Even though there's been some help and there's been some building and so on, still the people are devastated. The place is still pretty devastated. And so he wants to go back and rebuild this. And again, think of the journey as we're going into this. It's not an easy thing. He's going to take that journey. Again, it's taken the other ones about 5 months to go from Babylon to Jerusalem. And they're willing to do it. We're going to see that it's not an easy thing. Nehemiah is going to face opposition. He faces opposition from all the enemies around, the Egyptians and the surrounding peoples. They're going to try and stop Nehemiah from doing what he wants to do. But not only that, sometimes we're aware of that. You know, we're aware that if we're doing something for the Lord, there's going to be people out there that are going to oppose it. What really gets us sometimes is when we're doing something from the Lord and somebody right next to you or from within maybe your fellowship or your family, wow, all of a sudden they're opposing it. Wow, you know, that can blindside us. If you remember Paul, when he was on his way to Rome, He had a special relationship with the church of Ephesus. And as he traveled on his way, rather than stop and go into the city of Ephesus, he stopped and he went to the seashore. All the church of Ephesus came down to the seashore to meet with him. And it was going to be the last time that they would ever see Paul. Paul was on his way to martyrdom at this point in time in his ministry. And so when all they come down, they hug and they kiss and they actually weep. You know, what a special relationship they had. Paul shares one thing with them, that, you know what, he's leaving now and he's not going to be back. And the church is going to experience trouble, danger. And Paul talks about, you know, there's danger without, but the thing that really gets you in that, it's Acts chapter 20, I think. Acts 20, and it might be like verses, I just saw this, but let me check to make sure. I'm positive it's Acts 20. Acts 20 and verse 17 and following. He says, he tells the people that, you know what, I did not hesitate to share with you the whole gospel and the whole counsel of God. I was faithful in ministering to you. And then he says in verse 27, why don't we just read from there, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God, just what I said. Look at 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So he's talking to the Ephesian elders here. And he's trying to encourage them, but he doesn't want them to be blindsided. He doesn't want them to be deceived. He wants them to know that if you're serving Jesus, it's a battle, and we're in a battle, and we're in a war, and it's a spiritual thing. For I know this, Paul says, verse 29, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Well, we kind of maybe expect that. You know, when I'm serving the Lord, there's all this stuff out there. Satan's not going to like it. And he'll attack in ways that, you know, we might be kind of looking for. But then he goes on, look at what he says. Also, you know, not only from without, but even something more insidious and something even more dangerous. Also, from among yourselves. Here's this church gathered. It'd be like this morning, we're gathered and we could say, well, you know what, we have not... We've gone through the Bible, you know, 8 times. We've gone through the whole Bible. So we're not just on some tangent. You know, every week at faith, you know, confession, you know, positive confession, what you say, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's not, you know, we just teach the whole Bible, the whole counsel of God. We've not failed to do that. Over the years, forces from without. We were the only church out of hundreds of churches that the commissioners in Warren, PA said, you know what, we're going to attack them. And if we can win this attack on them, then this is what they actually told us in the meetings. If we can win against you, we've won against every church. And we're going to take all your tax exempt status away from you. Which I'm just telling you, I don't really care. It's not going to change. But that's a benefit. That's part of the law. Just like Paul, we're learning Sunday nights, as Paul went to Rome, he used his Roman citizenship to be able to appeal to the different, you know, levels of court, in essence, the system, on his way to Rome. And so, hey, if it's part of the law and we will, you know, that's fine. We'll use it. So we expect those things. Do you understand what I'm saying? We expect to be attacked. But what would really blow my mind, you know, if we're going through, you know, serving the Lord and stuff, and all of a sudden, Jim Stowe has filed motions to, I don't know, I'm just making it up, have the radio stations be not Calvary Chapel, but Jim Stowe Incorporated. You see what I'm saying? Wow! That catch me right off guard. You know, we wouldn't be really necessarily looking for that. You know, that somebody right from among us would, well, that's what Paul's saying, that can happen. And it does happen. You know, thank God it hasn't happened hardly ever here, but in almost 40 years, but it can happen. And so he just warns them, watch then, because from among yourselves men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. So just be aware, watch, be faithful. So he knows he's going to experience this opposition from his enemies, but also he's going to suffer from abuse and opposition from among some of his leadership and from the people. Yeah, they're going to, like Moses, when they're going through the desert, Moses, why you bring us out here just to die? And I would have smacked them, but Moses, he goes, oh, I get on my face before the Lord, I'm going to pray for him. You know, what a heart Moses had. And so Nehemiah is going to face that, those things. He's going to rebuild the wall. He's going back for a specific thing, a specific purpose. And he's not going to quit. He's going to do it. God has given him something to do, and you know what? I'm going to do it. You know, when God gives us something to do, let's do it. You know, even though we suffer opposition, even though there might be problems that arise from within or a disagreement or whatever, there's proper channels to deal with all that. You know, you get on, you pray about it, you talk about it, you love one another, you agree to disagree and go on and serve the bigger purpose, that this is an opportunity. What are we doing? How could anyone oppose preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's the ultimate purpose. How could anyone oppose teaching, making disciples by teaching the Word of God? How can anybody oppose that? Oh, I don't like the evangelistic minute. How can you oppose something like that? You see what I'm saying? So you just go to the bigger purpose. Well, you might not like it, but you know what? They're sharing the gospel, and we're going to play it. It's simple little things like that. You keep the purpose, the ultimate purpose in mind. And so Nehemiah, he just goes ahead. He's going to build a wall. He does it in 52 days. When you think about it, I bet you those stones are more than 300 pounds. A lot of them. And it's just amazing to see what God does through Nehemiah. 52 days. We're going to see that the enemies and the people around, I mean, they're amazed at what is accomplished. And that's a neat thing. You know, when you hear maybe testimonies, even from the world, wow, that is an amazing thing. That's a neat thing. In the early 70s, we had a ministry, it was a hotline. And I don't know if there's a lot of hotlines today or not. That is a huge thing. When I was living in California, and you could be I wasn't a part of that hotline, but at the school that I was going to, they had a hotline. They received, and there's nothing wrong with it, they received, because they were helping drug addicts, because they were ministering to people, because lives were being transformed. The governor of the state of California recognized it and gave them some award. Well, that's okay. The world recognizes sometimes that, you know what, this is an awesome thing. This is a good thing. And the world's going to recognize that Nehemiah has accomplished a marvelous thing, really a miraculous thing, to repair and do what he's done in 52 days. Again, he's going to challenge the people as he goes to restore the wall, but to restore their lives, restore their hearts, revive their hearts. As he goes, we're going to see this place of devastation is renewed. Let's go to Nehemiah 1. Pretty straightforward. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chisev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel. It's in captivity. He's exiled. That Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. A couple things. Nehemiah, he was taken. He was a captive. He'd been like Daniel, gone through the indoctrination that the Babylonians and the captives would have went through. He's now doing what they identified, hey, this is what you're going to do. You're going to serve the king. You're going to be the cupbearer of the king. He hadn't lost a heart for God. He hadn't lost a heart for his people. Tomorrow, will I have a heart for the people that are around me, the people whose faces I can see? You know, do I have a heart for them? Am I concerned for them? Do I ever pray for them? Isn't that kind of what we do? Hopefully it's a real thing. Sometimes it becomes a thing, you know, we meet, and maybe we saw each other last Sunday. We meet, well, how you doing? And it's just something to say. But I want it to be more than that. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, how are you really doing? Are you doing good with Jesus? Are things going good? Have you had a good week in Jesus this week? I'm concerned for you. I really love you. It's not just something to say. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. Oh, no, am I concerned? Is the reason I'm saying it, because I am concerned for you. I am concerned how George did this week. Last week he said I might get, what do you call that?
Wooden leg named Smith.
I might get my wooden leg named Smith. So I thought about that this week. You know, and so when I see George, I want to know, you know, how has that gone? And I really want to know. That's the kind of, I like Nehemiah. He was concerned. He was concerned what was going on. He was concerned about the things of the Lord. Even though he was involved in a lot that was going on in the world, he was concerned about the things of the Lord. Am I concerned about the things of the Lord? Every one of us here should be concerned. What's going on? What's going on with the, why? Because they're, you know, what's going on with the nursing home? What's happening with the nursing home ministry? What's going on with the children? What's going on with the radio? What's going on with the school? What's going on with? We're a part of that. God's brought us here. We should be genuinely interested, concerned, wanting to be a part, if nothing more, that, you know what, these are things I'm praying about. These are things I'm praying for. Nehemiah was concerned. And that speaks volumes of where it's so easy. And how do we, I don't know, just the closer, the more intimate we are with Jesus, I think. It's so easy. I could care less about anything. There's times I think, I've got the ability to do it. The reality stuff. How many of you want to go off grid? Hey! Yeah, wouldn't that be, maybe you're saying no, but sometimes you just feel like that. I would like to just be all alone somewhere. Nehemiah wasn't like that. We're connected. We're connected with a bond that's stronger than a real blood bond of family. It's the blood bond of Jesus Christ. And we are family. We are family more than there. We gotta be honest here. I think maybe you've been blessed, you've come from a close family, and there's some closeness there and some intimacy. There are many when we come to Christ, that family is more intimate and closer and more real than the family you grew up with and were born into. And that's a beautiful thing. It's awesome when you have both. He was concerned. And so, hey, what's going on? What's going on with my family? What's going on with my city? What's going on? What's happening? Verse 3, and they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there. Oh, it's not good. They're there in great distress and reproach. It's a mess. And the people are a mess. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates are burned with fire. Well, at least I got it made. I'm not the greatest thing I could be doing. But heck, I'm around the king. I got a roof over my head. And every day I've got something I got to do. And as long as I don't make the king unhappy, which sometimes I worry about, I should have a pretty long life. That's not what he does. So it was when I heard these words. Wow. Is that what impacts my life? When I hear, oh, so-and-so's sick, so-and-so's experienced a hard thing, so-and-so, it's not good, they're going through a hard thing. If one in the body hurts, we all hurt. Unless I'm just consumed with myself, and all I'm doing 365, 24 hours a day is thinking about myself and worrying about myself and ministering to myself. I'm totally consumed with myself. And so I have no feelings for anything but myself. And nothing impacts me outside of myself. I can tell everybody how horrible I'm doing, how horrible it is, what hardship I'm going through. And then I actually get mad at everybody because I tell them so much. I mean, it's almost like they don't hear. It's because they don't want to hear. They hear it so much. Get a grip. Get into Jesus. Let Jesus help you overcome those things. And so he's impacted. He sat down. He weeps and mourned for many days. He fasted and prayed before the Lord God of heaven. Just look at what Nehemiah does. I mean, it's some good things. You know, these things, he does have a heart. He does have a concern. He is touched by this. And he's touched, his heart is broken. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. Wow. You know, he knows the reason they're suffering. He knows why all this has happened. He isn't afraid to say it. And again, his whole heart is, you know what, I've got to go to the Lord with all this. And he's going in sadness. He's going in brokenness. He's going in humility. Oh, Lord, this is who you are. You're the awesome Lord. You're the just Lord. You're the merciful Lord. That's who you are. And this is who we are. We're awful. We've rebelled against you. We've not obeyed you. And as a nation, as a people, we haven't done it. But then it gets real personal. You know what? My own family didn't do it. My father didn't do it. You know what? I haven't. I was in the same way. I have not done it. I have sinned. And again, I just think that for us to grow in the Lord, for us to grow in maturity, towards maturity, for us to make any, we've got to be a repentant people. We've got to be willing to look at our own lives, look at our own hearts, and be broken about it. God, forgive me. After all these years, 40 years, and I still am doing these kind of things. I'm still disobeying you. I still have these attitudes that are horrible. I still put so many things before you, Lord. And if I am not willing to do that, I'm never gonna come to a mature place. And Nehemiah was willing to look at I've done this thing. We have sinned. Forgive us, Lord. Again, I think David's a great example. Psalm 51, Psalm 7. You know, just when David is, and there's many other places, but he was always willing. I could blame all this other stuff. You know, it's right here, Lord. And I'm willing to look at me, Lord. Look at my heart, reveal it, lay it open. And help me overcome it. Help me grow to be more like you, Jesus. And so Nehemiah does that. He goes, he prays. We have acted, look at what he says in 7, we've acted very corruptly against you. We've not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. This is a neat thing. I don't know if I've ever done it, but remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you're unfaithful, I'll scatter you. But I don't think the Lord needs reminding, but he's just standing on the word. You know what? I've never prayed that way, except maybe when I do 1 John. If I confess my sins, what's he say? You are faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me just a little bit. Cleanse me all unrighteousness. And so in essence, when we go to that place and say, Lord, here's your word, and I've done this horrible thing. I have sinned against you, and I'm broken. And Lord, that just slipped my mind. 1 John 1:9. Isn't it good to kind of claim that? And it's not really that I'm reminding the Lord, but I'm I'm taking the Lord at His word, and I'm using His word, and that's what Nehemiah does here. Lord, You said if we would disobey You, You would do this. And we disobeyed You. And we're in this. But You said if we would obey, then You would do this. Lord, I'm confessing, Lord, I'm going to obey. Please do this now, right? That's what he's saying. Isn't he just standing on what God has said? God's faithfulness, God's word, believing His word. And I think we do that when we use 1 John 1:9. It's a good thing to do, and that's what Nehemiah does. But, verse 9, if you return, if you keep My commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for My name. God, I'm standing on Your word. Now, these are Your servants and Your people whom You have redeemed by Your great power and by Your strong hand. Oh Lord, I pray, please, let Your ear be attentive. What humility. You know, I'm demanding, I'm going to tell You, God, what I want right now, and You're going to do it. No, God, I'm just so broken. I'm not demanding anything. I'm not telling You anything. You know, I shudder sometimes when I hear some of these guys, preachers, you know, like walking around like they're going to punch God in the face, you know. Man, they need to... Yeah, they need to repent. I doubt some of them are even saved. Oh Lord, I pray, please let Your ear be attentive to the prayer of Your servant and to the prayer of Your servants who desire to fear Your name. See, there's no fear in some of that. No reverence. And let Your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. See, that's all Nehemiah's doing. Again, he just, oh God. You know, the only way anything's going to happen is I'm relying on Your grace and Your mercy. Because I don't deserve none of this and I'm not demanding any of it. God, pour out Your mercy. How wicked we are. How wicked we have been. Wow, that's Nehemiah. That's a leader. That's a dad. Oh man, I've made so many mistakes. Oh, son, would You please forgive me? I've done my best. I've just blown it so many times. You know, we have this rift in our relationship. I'm confessing to you today that I want this thing healed. Forgive me. Daughter, look at, you know, why does there have to continue to be these tensions in our relationship? Please forgive me. Hopefully healing can come because of that. But as long as I continue to demand that I'm right, as long as I continue to blame my parents that boy, you've just done so many horrible things, well, there's no Jesus in any of that. You know, and someday you're going to learn that you're such a failure too, and you're not the greatest parent. None of us probably have been, but in Jesus it can be all right. And I like this just the heart of Nehemiah. You know, how I need that kind of a heart. Boy, God's going to use Nehemiah now. Out of His grace and mercy. Well, here's a guy that can be used for the Lord. Let's look at it. It came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of the king Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now, I'd never been sad in his presence before. And that's kind of an important statement, because you better not be sad in the presence of the king. You better not, you know, you better present a good appearance. You better not show any displeasure. He's going to whack your head off if you do. And so look at how this, again, it was Nehemiah was doing all right. When he heard of what was going on, when he heard that his brothers and sisters were struggling, when he heard what had happened in Jerusalem and what the conditions were, it broke his heart, and it broke his heart to the place where that it really affected him. It affected him physically, even on the outside. And he's gone to the Lord. Therefore, the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, since you are not sick?" This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. Uh-oh. And said to the king, "May the king live forever." Oh, you're the greatest king. Please don't, run me through. "Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies in waste? Its gates are burned with fire." Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" Wow. So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight..." I don't think that he was necessarily saying, at this very moment, after I've been with you for X number of days and years, right now I just want to find favor in your sight. I think what Nehemiah was relying upon was that I've lived a certain life. Right? And if I found favor... And then again, not only what Nehemiah has done, but what God's going to do through Nehemiah in honoring, as Nehemiah has humbled himself, what does the Bible say? If we humble ourselves, God will lift us up, right? And so rather than Nehemiah lifting himself up, rather than Nehemiah, he's served the king faithfully, in humility, in brokenness, respectfully. He has done what he's been put in a position to do, I think, the way we're called to do it. What we said before is unto the Lord. He's been just serving Jesus while he's been serving the king. He's serving a higher than King Artaxerxes. God's going to honor that. God is going to lift. To me, it's the combination of the two. If I'm within, what I'm able to do, the choices that I'm making, if I'm serving this way and living this way, best of my ability, then God's going to bless it, right? And so this is what he's saying, that God, please now, show me favor. Lord, and the Lord's going to show him favor. He said to the king, "May the king live forever," so on and so forth. Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, if your servant has found favor in your sight," God could do that, right? God could show him favor. I pray that a lot of times. Lord, show me favor. Show me favor when I go into this situation. I think that's a neat thing to pray. Go before me. Show me favor. "I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." Wow. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, "How long will your journey be, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, "It pleases the king." Again, king, I'm not telling you anything, but please let me go. Please, again, I'm setting a time. I'm answering your, I'm here to serve you, but I want to go and do this for the Lord and for my people and for my city. Furthermore. This is real favor. I want protection. I want passage. You have it in your hand to really bless me here and really Give me some help here. Furthermore, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest. I don't have anything. I got to rebuild the walls. Hey, king, maybe you could provide the materials for the rebuilding here. If it pleases you, if I found favor, and see, that's the wonderful thing that God's done here. He has given Nehemiah favor. Nehemiah has a heart for the Lord, and so I need timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. That's why. All right, well, God is... It was good. His good hand, again, was on Ezra. His good hand was on Zerubbabel. His good hand was on Nehemiah. His good hand is on you, and his good hand is on me. Then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. And when Sanballat, he's going to come up again. Another guy, Tobiah, the Ammonite official, heard of it. They were deeply distressed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. They hated the Jews. They hated the children of Israel. And they were down. They were out. They were devastated. And when they hear that help is coming, they hate it. How the world hates when true help is coming. Oh, Jesus is the answer? You got to be kidding me. You won't believe the opposition when Jesus is the answer. The world will hear anything and accept anything but that. One thing that amazed me, I used to love to go to the couple different beaches in the 1970s, and you could go to the beach and you could see anything, right? Anything would be going on at the beach. We would go there, take guitars, stuff, we'd play, we'd hand out tracts, and sometimes we'd do these organized things on the piers. I never heard a single person scream Buddha. I don't know how many people I heard. Do you even hear that today? I was talking to a guy week and a half ago. Oh Jesus Christ. I've never heard, has anybody ever heard? Anybody? Oh Muhammad. Buddha. No, Satan hates Jesus Christ. And so he's actually made it, you know, a cursing. They're cursing Jesus Christ. Demons. They come right up to your face and curse Jesus Christ right to your face. That's how much Satan hates Jesus Christ. And that taught me so many things when I would see these different things on the, you know, a lot of people, that guy is crazy, just got out of the psych unit or whatever. But, oh boy, they're cursing, and they're always cursing Jesus Christ. God. God damn it, Jesus Christ. Never. Why? Because that's the real thing. And Satan hates them. And so these enemies, they hate the things of God. And they're going to try and stop the work of God, however they can stop it. It's the same today. It's not changed. Well, Nehemiah goes, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. He didn't know what was there. God's called me to do this thing. I feel God wants me to do this thing. Good thing. He's already prayed. He's already fasted. But then he does another good thing. He gets there. He's going to look at the situation. He's going to assess the situation. He wants to know how to go about this thing. I rose in the night. I had a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. And then I went on to the fountain gate, to the king's pool, but there was no room for an animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered the valley gate and so returned. And the officials didn't know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or others who did the work. I mean, he's just getting a good sense of what needs to be done. He's seeing the devastation. He's viewing the rules. Man, I'd like to. My daughter right now is in a new move to Rochester. And she's been told, oh, you're going to be doing this. But before you do this, before you are hired, before you are put on staff, before you do anything, you got to be around. You got to be at church. You got to get to know the people. You got to get a feel of what Canandaigua ain't Pittsburgh. It's really different. You got to go through these discipleship materials. You got to go through these 30 lessons on the gospel of Mark, what it is to be a servant. It's a good thing. Oh, God wants me to do this. God's called me to do this. I think it was really good. Nehemiah, you know, I'm going to look at see what's going on. I got to get a feel for what God has put in my heart. You know, I got to look at, here's the wall. We just did this. Here's the wall. I don't want to do it. You know, we're going to have to take it out here. We're going to have to change it here. We're going to have to tie it in here. You know what? I think that's wise. I think that God's called Nehemiah, and he goes and he assesses what's going on here. Let's finish this up. He goes by night. He wants to get a sense of this is what, you know what, another thing. Oh, God wants me to mow the church. God wants me. There's nothing too little that I can just slough off. I'm serving the Lord. And I'm doing something for Jesus here. And you know what? It's a serious thing. No matter what it is. And so, Nehemiah, this is a serious thing. It's a big thing to do for the Lord. And I'm not just going to slough it off. I'm not just going to, you know, do it haphazardly. Then I said to them, after he had already seen what was going on, you see the distress that we're in. You see how Jerusalem lies in wait. You see how its gates are burned with fire. Now, come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. You know what? I think Nehemiah kind of had a sense. This is how we can do this now. Let's do this, and let's do it together. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me. Also, of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, what were some of those things? Again, they could have said, well, how are we going to do this? Well, we got nothing. Nehemiah was able to say, you know what? Look at what God's already done. This is how things are lining up. They're going to give me the materials to do it. The king sent letters, remember? Letters. Go to the forest. I can get the timbers. I can get the materials. I told him the hand of my God. He's good, and it's been good, and it has been a good thing. So they said, let us rise up and build, and they set their hands to do this good work. It's always a good work to do something for the Lord. It's always good. We're going to see again, here's the opposition. Was it going to just be something that was going to go just so smooth? But when Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, the Ammonite, Geshem, the Arab, heard of it, they laughed at us. They despised us. And I think sometimes that's the enemy's game. It begins that way. They'll mock. They'll talk about the impossibility. I'm sure it was all that. What is this thing you're doing? Will you rebel against the king? Well, they weren't rebelling against the king. They had permission from the king. The king had sent them. Again, there's a lot of ignorance at times from the enemy. So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself has ordained this, basically. You know, God himself has told me to do it. God himself has sent me. God himself will do this. And in essence, there's that humility again. Nehemiah ain't going to be able to do it, but God's going to be able to do it. God himself will prosper us. Therefore, what are we? We're just doing what God's told us to do. We're just his slaves. We're not some geniuses. We're not these super, you know, we're not a cut above everybody, and we're so super spiritual that God just spoke to us, and, you know, we're going to float in here and snap our fingers, and it's going to be, no. We're just slaves. We were just kind of available and willing to do whatever the Lord would want us to do. And God is going to do it. God is going to do it. He's going to arise. He's going to build. But you guys, you have no place. You have no heritage. You have nothing here. Be a Nehemiah. Think of, again, Nehemiah's heart. Think of his character. Oh, but I'm not building a great ministry. Yeah, we're all building in the kingdom of God. You know, how are you going to build this week? What's the Lord going to have you do? How are you going to be serving Jesus this week as we go out from here? And the things that Nehemiah did are just good things. Am I concerned? Am I praying? Has God called me to fast in the last 6 months? You know, maybe I'll give that a try. Maybe I'll say this week, Wednesday lunch, I'm going to fast. I'm not going to eat. I'm going to take a lunch and I'm going to get my Bible. And I'm going to spend my lunch, half hour, whatever it is, 15 minutes. And I'm just going to spend time before the Lord in the Scriptures. I'm going to fast. I'm going to remain humble. Lord, continue to work in my heart. Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for my failings. Forgive me when I disobey you. Forgive me for putting so many other things before you. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, do the work that you've called me to do through me, because I can't do it. I do not have the ability to do it. I'm telling you, God will do great things this week. God will do amazing things in our lives, in our families, in our workplaces, in our community. He will use us to build, maybe to rebuild certain things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of Nehemiah. Thank you by your Spirit, Lord, for teaching us today. Lord, help us to not just be hearers, but help us to be appliers, doers. Lord, help us to be slaves and servants this week, to rebuild and build those things that you put before us. Lord, we ask it in your name. Amen.